manager, so he can do whatever he wants. He's my manager. Fuck.
Come get on the train.
Wait a minute.
Hit it.
Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast.
Hey, Tanner, what was the number one song in September of 2015?
I know what that one was.
Well, what was it? Yo, let's get it going out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of the world. Welcome on in to the Sports Buffoons. We had to get a little funky with you guys for a few seconds there because guess what? September 2015 was a long-ass time ago.
Long.
Well over 8 years ago at this point. And it's Chiefs-Broncos week. You know what that means? The last time this song was number one on the hits was the last time the Broncos beat the Kansas City Chiefs in a football game. What?
Unbelievable, dude.
I love me some Chiefs Broncos week. It is like a national tradition at this point in my mind. It is the best time ever because every year I get to make a mockery out of this shit. And you know, that's one of those things. I decided to look back a little bit at it and just out of curiosity, what was the number one song back in 2015 when the Broncos last beat the Chiefs? And here we are. So I'm excited to get it going, guys. We're going to talk about that quite a bit for a few minutes here. But otherwise, let's kick off the show, you guys. So I got Jason JD to my left,
Tanner
Dawson to my right. How you doing, fellas?
Doing good.
A lot of shit went down back in 2015, 2016, right in that range. I just found out today that actually Will Smith and Jada Pinkett have been separated since 2016.
Right.
That was
a long fucking time. I mean, that's almost as long as it's been since the Broncos beat the Chiefs. And so I was thinking about that today. I was just like, why in the world would you just like hide a separation for that long? And then all of a sudden you go up on stage and you try to smack the shit out of Chris Rock. Like none of that shit made sense to me, but I'm just a lowly peasant, man. What do I know about the real world and all these famous people? So
maybe he paid her off to say something like that to kind of save face for their whole relationship, because that's been an ugly one to see unfold in the media. Without a doubt. So, Tanner, what you sipping on over there?
You know, that's kind of nice, actually. You brought this back for me. A cranberry Tank 7.
Cranberries? Are you on your period? What's going on over here?
This is actually pretty damn good, dude.
Well, it's red. I've never had it personally, so, I mean, Tanner gets to be the first one to try out of the group.
The last time I checked, if you're a male and you're drinking cranberry, that means you're on your period. Is that not a thing?
Well, technically, I mean, in today's world, I think a male could be on his period, from what I've been told.
No, that's true.
I've never heard of that, but that's
apparently a thing. I don't know. I mean, that's what people have told
me. But JG would know. JG would know.
Yeah. No, I think I heard it in a movie one time. What movie was that? I'll think of it later. Oh,
I have no idea, man. I have no idea.
The Departed. The Departed. Go back and watch The Departed with Leo and Jack Nicholson.
It's a good one.
The Leo character, somebody asks him, because he's drinking cranberry juice. What are you, on your period? Something like that. That was like one of my favorite lines in that whole fucking movie. It's like, that's a great line, man. And if you ever see a male drink cranberry juice like this guy's doing right now, you should ask him if he's on his period.
But you should be happy for him. It's 8.5%.
I'm not happy for him. That's much higher than
Tanner's used to.
I'm not happy for him because you shouldn't be ovulating.
You guys act like I don't go drink beer or anything.
If you're a male, you should not be ovulating. You should not be drinking cranberry juice, you piece of shit. Get a real drink. To answer your question, Mike, I'm having Bullet Bourbon right now.
There you go.
It's one of my favorite bourbons. You know.
Yeah, I'm glad you got to have
it. Good bullshit.
And you've been a Bullet fan for a while. You always drink the rye, so you get to have the bourbon finally.
Yeah, and it's great. I would drink it. You can drink it neat if you want, but I've got it on the rocks right now.
Very nice. There you go. Just got me a little, Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. I mean, all just playing it safe, of course, like usual. So right. Nothing too wild, you guys.
We do have Dave in the comments. Dave, appreciate you joining in. He goes, 16 in a row, bitches. Woo!
That's the thing.
Best Ric Flair voice there.
This is one of those things. let's jump into Chiefs Broncos, guys. It's one of those things. It's one of those quote unquote rivalries or whatever, where I have no sympathy whatsoever for the Broncos. I told Jason earlier before the show, I was like, I want to see them go on a drought the same way the Raiders have. I want to see them be as bad as the Raiders have been for the past 20 years. I want this thing to be just everlasting. I love seeing the Broncos and Denver just have a shitty time. I mean, I do. I can't help it. I'm enjoying the beatdown. I'm enjoying the fact that that Patrick Mahomes' first ever NFL game was at Denver as a rookie, went out there and had a comeback drive after Tyler Bray tried to give it away in that game.
Correct.
By the way, came back in the game anyways, kicked the field goal to win the game, and undefeated against the Denver Broncos for his career. And then, of course, Alex Smith had a few before that as well. So keeping the streak going, that is my mindset. I know it's going to be hard because we play the Broncos and the Dolphins and the Broncos again, having games that close together. But at the same time, guys, some of the crazy things about this Broncos team right now, this is the worst defense the Broncos have had in a very, very long time.
It's bad.
I mean, they rank 32nd in rush yards per game, as well as pass yards per game. So both ends of the spectrum. I mean, they're bad at everything.
So if we take the Dolphins, it was very entertaining. I was listening to, I think it was 610 that was actually providing stats for once. Maybe it was 8. It was probably 810. Let's be real. But they were talking about the Broncos defense, and if you take the Dolphins game just out of it, the Broncos are just as bad. So you got the Broncos right now 32nd, right, with 821. By the way, 821 yards. That's a 1,000-yard rusher almost right there. That they're allowing up in defense in five games. You take the Dolphins, let's just take 200 yards off, right, for the Dolphins game. That puts them at second worst with just under the Panthers. And that's
Breece Hall just had a – which deservedly so. Breece Hall is a great running back, but yes. We saw him go off with a 72-yard touchdown last week. I mean, you go out there and you let Zach Wilson just hand the ball off a bunch of times and just kind of win by not being stupid and making mistakes.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we get to watch Sean Payton eat shit.
Yeah.
At the same time, going out there and all of his smack talk about Nate Hackett and what a shitty job he did and this whole thing that was unnecessary to begin with. That had no reason to even be put out there in the media to begin with. And, now he had to go out there and deal with it. And then Nate Hackett got the game ball for the Jets at the end of that. So,
by the way, they are number 4 in the worst stats against tight ends as well. So.
I got a couple more for you. So, obviously, dead last in opponents' points per game allowed.
Yep.
Rush yards. And opponents are completing 77.2% completion percentage in their passing game against the Denver Broncos' pass defense. So, we're sitting here going on about the rush defense and how bad that is, and you should be taking your Isaiah Pacheco overs all day long in your betting. But 77.2% as well, completion percentage allowed. You got Pat Surtain, the second on your team, and that's still happening? What the freaking hell is – I mean, I love it, but that is some sad shit. And also, of course, dead last in yards per pass. So it's a wonderful time. And I'm enjoying watching Russell Wilson as well continue to crumble in a lot of ways. And I know some people out there, have said that, it looks like he's improving. He's not making as many mistakes as he was a year ago, whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, it's not good enough.
He's through 5 weeks, and he's almost through as many touchdowns as he has bathrooms in his house. Last year, that took 14 weeks to do. So that'd be 12. Yeah. Magic number's 12.
So he's got 12 fucking bathrooms in his house.
There's a guy.
Oh, fuck.
Last year he started it. It was a guy on TikTok where he was sitting here and he would update after every week of how many touchdowns Russell Wilson threw and how many to the ratio of how many bathrooms he has in his house. And it took him 14 weeks. This year He's up to week five with just one shy to tie, two TDs to beat.
I love that, you know. I always admire a guy that has, like, a stand-up urinal in his home bathroom. That's always badass. But to have 12 bathrooms, like, that's like if he and Sierra, you know, having the issues, you know, down below, then you're going opposite ends of the whole fucking house. At that point, I mean, then you're safe no matter what. You don't have to worry about, you know. I mean, first of all, who's going to clean all those bathrooms?
Right.
That's a lot of toilet. To have them have showers, I mean, what do they do with this amount of bathrooms in their house? I mean,
I don't get it.
Do other people live there? I mean, how many what's going on?
He only has one kid, right?
I don't know, man.
Just Sierra and him have one kid, I think.
That's a life that I'm not interested really in knowing more than I already know about at this point, honestly. And obviously, if you guys paid attention at all through the Club Shay Shay interview with Marshawn Lynch, Marshawn spilled some beans on a little bit of behind the scenes of how Russell Wilson is as a person, in the locker room and so forth. And let's just say the whole idea that last year he had his own separate office in the stadium now makes a lot more sense now that we've understood that, because that's been happening for many years. As a matter of fact, going back to Seattle. And Tanner, it reminded me, actually, whenever we had your brother Connor on, what was it, probably 2 years ago?
Yep.
And Connor actually was the one to throw out the idea that, you know, because he worked at the Mariners at the time, that he had had heard that actually Russell Wilson is the one who's more of an issue in Seattle. And that's the first person
I'd heard say it.
He said it. So he'd been hearing something. And you know how these sports, you know, work out in all the cities. I mean, everybody's talking a little bit in the professional sports world. So he knew some inside information, I bet, that I'm guessing. I have no idea. But he was right. I think Russell Wilson, at the end of the day, was the problem. And it is the problem. And we saw Geno Smith step in the year after he left and have a career year. And I'd guarantee Geno Smith has everyone's phone number on his offense. And also shares the locker room equally with everyone as well. So that's something that we cannot say for Russell Wilson. But, guys.
Unreal.
Anyways, getting back to the game tomorrow night here on Thursday Night Football. The current line's sitting at 10.5. But how are we feeling about the Chiefs right now? I mean, in this situation, we expect it to be a bloodbath in a lot of ways. But just what are your thoughts on Chiefs-Broncos tomorrow night?
I feel pretty good about it. I mean, the Chiefs defense has not allowed more than 20 points in any game this season. I feel like, to be honest with you, going back to our previous conversation, I feel sorry for Russell Wilson, man. I really do, because as famous as he is, as good as he thinks he is, he's still fairly young compared to guys like, you know, when you think about great quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. I mean, Russell Wilson's going down in flames, man. And to me, if I'm sitting there in his shoes, I don't want to end my career like that. To have Sean Payton as my head coach and just to kind of dribble away into the sunlight and have a shitty-ass career and just kind of, in a certain sense, he's ruining his fucking career right now. But the Chiefs are going to pressure his ass. Russet potato, he's going to be pressured. It could be an ugly game, and I expect it to be an ugly game. And I'm kind of with you, Mike, in terms of, you know, you want to see the Broncos play like shit for a long period of time. I'm with you, but I'm also a Sean Payton fan. So, like, I also think that they're probably just trying to maybe do a tank job this year. And
I've heard that too.
I want to see, I'm kind of torn. I want to see Sean Payton do well. But I can't stand Russell Wilson, and I do want to see him go down in flames. I don't understand for the life of me why he would want to do that and play like shit for as long as he has. But, you know, this, in terms of the Chiefs game, I mean, this is a fucking walkover. This is a fucking walkthrough, fucking practice, piece of shit, scrubs. Like, the Chiefs should take this game seriously, but... You know, let's get this thing over with in, like, the first half. Seriously. Like, this game should be over in the first half. The Denver Broncos are a fucking dumpster fire right now, and I think that's by design, because I think that you bring in a guy like Sean Payton. We talked about this last week. I mean, just get some fucking draft picks for next year and move on.
But don't you look like kind of an ass when you walk into a situation like Payton did in Denver? immediately start calling out the former coach, former head coach, about what a bad job he did, as if it was his fault, not the talent's fault around you.
Correct.
And then you go out there and actually do a worse job than what Nate Hackett did, because let's face it, he is so far doing a worse job than Nate Hackett did. Don't you make yourself look even worse?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, because when you're in the same division with Patrick Mahomes, what's the goal here? Like, what do you really want to accomplish in year one? I think the expectation is
Andy Reid went 10-6 in year one, or 11-5 in year one with the Chiefs, after they went 2-14 the year before that.
That's fine.
Walked right in and fixed this organization in 1 year.
I feel like in this division, if you're any of those teams, the expectations are low, excluding the Chargers. Like, the Chargers should be doing a little bit better this year.
Why would it be low?
Because it's year one. It's year where, like, I understand.
It doesn't make sense.
Last year was year one with Russell Wilson, right? So we had low expectations last year for Russell.
There was high expectations last year.
The Broncos were talked about as possibly a playoff team.
They were talking winning the AFC West.
I'm just telling you personally, I had low expectations. So now you're in year one. You're in year one with Russ at Potato and Sean Payton. So, like, he's got to learn that fucking offense all over again. I mean, it's a fucking shit show. But I think in terms of, like, Sean Payton's perspective, again, I talked about this last week. You can do whatever you want. You can tank if you want to. Like, the ownership.
But that doesn't make sense for a future Hall of Fame coach that everybody's saying he's going to be.
Possibly.
It doesn't make sense.
You bring in
a guy like Sean Payton to pay the money you are paying him.
You have a washed up fucking quarterback.
It doesn't matter.
If you have a washed up quarterback, it does matter. Sean Payton's the one who walked in and thinking he can fix the whole situation.
He can fix it, dude.
He thought Nate Hackett was so fucking shitty, he could just walk into this place and fix the whole thing and get it all back
on
track and
win
10 games.
Sean Payton was out there on TV for a year.
That was his mentality.
He can make miracles happen.
You might be able to fix it in a couple of years. But if Russell Wilson.
That's not what they want. That's not why you hired the guy.
If Russell Wilson's not the guy of the future. I'm mark my word right now. Sean Payton's not going to get fired.
He's not going to get fired because
he can do whatever the fuck
money.
He wants. He can blame whoever the fuck he wants.
Why?
It doesn't matter.
Why would he join a franchise if he's not knowing who the quarterback
because
is?
Because they
big
can
contract.
Fucking tank right now for
that
Caleb
doesn't make
Williams.
Sense.
Yes,
you're still
it does.
Owing Russell Wilson a shit ton of money.
You can do a tank
you
job.
You hurt your franchise by tanking with Russell Wilson.
Yes, you do. The Broncos organization knows before they even brought in Sean Payton, they already knew that they overpaid. That fucking contract
that
with Russell Wilson was an overpay. They knew that long before Sean Payton ever fucking
came in there. They're looking for a fix, and Sean Payton was the fix.
The fix is to get a good fucking quarterback next year.
That's
in the fucking
not
draft.
What they were looking for.
That's the fucking fix.
What do you think? What do you think why they brought in Sean Payton? Why did Sean Payton go to the Broncos? Why did they bring in Sean Payton?
Why do you bring in a head coach with a successful past tenure?
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, obviously, the entire time Sean
to
Payton
rebuild?
Was in New Orleans with the Saints, he had Drew Brees, right?
Yep.
The second Drew Brees was gone, that whole thing was over with. I mean, all the party was over, all the numbers of passing yards, everything was over with. And, you know, we talk about, you mentioned he could be a potential Hall of Fame coach. Is he going to be a Hall of Fame coach if you have no Drew Brees there in New Orleans? Because I don't know about that. It's pretty arguable.
That's a potential.
Considering,
guys,
you've never done anything without Drew Brees as you're in your head coaching career.
Guys make the same exact argument for Bill Belichick. Are we now going to sit here and say that Belichick's a bum because he never did shit without Tom Brady? I'm not going to sit here and make that argument because I think it's a shitty fucking argument.
Here's the difference between Bill Belichick and Sean Payton. Bill Belichick actually won his Super Bowls multiple times. Sean Payton could barely get past without the first round some years.
Right. Drew Brees did only win one Super Bowl in his career.
He only won one Super Bowl.
For the record.
Bill Belichick and Tom Brady
won seven.
Combined.
Well, six.
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 Right? There's a big difference between
that's
the two.
That's fine,
coaches.
But it's the same situation where
it's not the same situation.
You have the fucking quarterback, and people are trying to come up with this sort of meaningless debate. What is it? Is it
and
the quarterback?
Mac Jones are two different damn things.
Are we now going to sit here and say that Drew Brees is an elite quarterback and Sean Payton was a shitty coach in much the same way that
people
are saying?
No, but it's also possible that Drew Brees propelled Sean Payton to becoming what he was known for.
I'm just telling you that people are now saying that Bill Belichick is a shitty-ass coach.
It's because they're looking for headlines.
They're saying that right now.
They're looking for headlines. We all know that.
I'm saying that Sean Payton can make this thing work.
I'm saying Sean Payton has
his chance. Make it work, dude.
He has to make it work with the Russell Wilson in there.
No, fuck no.
Yes, he does.
He does not have to make it work with
that
asshole.
I guarantee you, if Payton comes back, Wilson comes back.
Russell Wilson needs to downsize from 12 bathrooms down to about 4 and actually try to earn his keep next year, because whatever money he's making right now, he ain't fucking earning it. Not going to earn it this year.
I'm sure Sierra is probably the one that's afforded most of those bathrooms, by the way. So she's still getting royalties for the rest of her life on all that. songs like a Boy, you know, stuff like that. So
we do got tons of comments from Dave here.
Oh, well, Dave's going on a rant. Look, what do we have?
All right, so we did the Ric Flair woo, right? Broncos country, let's have no pride. I like that.
Keep
your name out your mouth. You're talking about Will Smith earlier. Dave says, drinking Elijah Craig small batch.
That's a great one. Elijah Craig's great.
That's a really solid
one. I do like that, though. Have you guys ever heard that? Broncos country, let's die.
Let's die.
You ever heard that shit?
That's
like what he should have said.
That's like the
day one.
Surprise, motherfucker. No rise, motherfucker. No fries, motherfucker. Stuff like that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Watch your mouth.
It was a good one.
I have no idea.
You got to look it up. It's back in the Vine days.
The Vine days.
2015.
The Vine days.
Yeah, pre-2015. Payback for all the Elway and Manning days. I watched Marty cry way too much. He says, Sean, where's my Drew Payton? Enjoyed my time here to in enemy territory. Wilson buffaloed me. I was a Russ supporter in his early days. Athletes are not role models.
See, I don't really feel that bad. Like, I'm a little bit older than you guys, but I don't really feel bad about the Peyton Manning Super Bowl win. The John Elway Super Bowls, that's what they get credit for. Like, I don't really give a shit about Peyton Manning because he was a piece of shit when they won that Super Bowl. So, like, I didn't really think
it
was that big
of
a deal.
Shit, I mean, when he won that Super Bowl.
That's fine. I just, like, I don't want to see the Broncos, like, I want to see the Chiefs have a good division where the division's fucking competitive, because that makes the Chiefs better when the division is competitive. But, you know, in terms of Peyton Manning winning that fucking Super Bowl, I could give two shits less, because he also shit the bed in that Super Bowl against the fucking Seahawks.
I'm looking to set records here, you know, as far as the streak goes when it comes to the wins against the Broncos. And I want it to run up to 30 wins in a row. And I know that might not sound fun to you guys. You know, think about it, Tanner, as a, you know, maybe a KUK State kind of a thing to put it in perspective of. And, you know, you've had your streaks against K-State in the past, without a doubt. Was there ever a time in your life you go, man, I wish K-State was a little more competitive, you know? No, you probably wanted to walk into every goddamn basketball game and dominate. I mean, did you ever want to have, like, them put up a fight?
To me, that's
not fun.
I probably said that more times, at least one time about K-State, but I said that zero about Mizzou.
If I'm a competitor,
zero.
Okay, sure.
Guys, if I'm a competitor, I always want them to put up a fight. I don't want to be in
my team.
I don't want to be in a shitball division
they can
where
put up a
none
fight
of
against
the teams
a,
ever put up a fight.
The other bum teams,
you know,
in the division can put up a fight against each other, like watching some, you know, never. I'm not going to say it.
But how does that make you?
But I do not want them to put up a fight against our team. I want us to dominate.
How does
every
that
time.
Make you battle tested when you have to go up against the big dicks in the playoffs? You're not going to be battle tested if you get a little shitball fucking division.
We're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, the most battle tested team in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
So that's not even a good comparison there.
With no fucking wide receivers.
I'm just telling you, historically,
with a
the Chiefs are the most battle tested
right
team in the last 7 years in the league.
They need to be battle tested right now.
They are.
Right now they do.
No, they literally are. I just told you. Like, they're the most battle tested.
No, I'm talking about this year. I'm talking about this year's team.
This team?
Shitty fucking offense. They need to be battle tested.
I mean, do you not think that they've beat some decent teams so far?
Well, they beat the Vikings last week. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
What about before that, Bears? What about before that?
They beat the Lions, or they lost to the Lions in week one. Yeah. Now everybody thinks the Lions are the greatest thing since sliced bread. So congratulations, you lost to Detroit.
Well,
it was a great
The battle test you're referring to gets to be the Miami Dolphins, and we can talk about that next week.
Ooh, that's going to be juicy right there. I might have to place a $500 bet on that shit. Anyway, right, we got the easy money bets later.
Jags, yeah, the Jaguars.
I'm gonna have to throw some money down a little bit later in this show.
Call Dave.
All right, well, guys, I think we're thinking maybe. I already put my bet in for the week. I got Pacheco over 78. This is not official, by the way.
I know,
not my easy money bet. I did take Pacheco to have over 78.5 rushing yards and one touchdown. That was one of my bets, just because, I mean, it's looking pretty clean and clip. I mean, if the Chiefs go in this game and win, you know, by 14 or more, you're running the ball with Pacheco like we always do towards the end, down the stretch of the game, and I see no reason why Pacheco can't break off another 25, 30-yard run.
Give me a score.
Are you a little worried, though, that starters might be out after the third quarter again?
I'm worried.
Yeah, like you may not hit your bet because of that?
No. Because he'll hit his number before that happens.
Real quick, I do want to point out a couple things here. On the injury report, like we do every week, Kelce is expected to play, just so everybody knows. He was limited practice.
And Nick Bolton.
And Nick Bolton is a full practice today, baby. Let's get the jersey back on. Love it. Your limited practice is Karlaftis with the hamstring and Tommy Townsend with the left knee issue.
We're not going to be punting anyway.
Don't matter.
Give me a score.
Bring back Colquitt if we want to, but he can just stay on the sideline. He ain't going to be punting against these Broncos.
Fucking A.
Frank Clark is, by the way, I don't know if you guys heard, Frank Clark is will be out this week.
Yeah. We're not surprised, but
it's an illness. It's just an illness.
Is it a tummy ache again?
It might be a tummy ache.
He's got to save his productivity for the playoffs, Tanner. You know the playoffs?
Playoff
you
got
to save it for the playoffs.
I don't know if you guys saw that. I don't know if it's fake or not. It has to be fake, but I want to bring it up to you. There was a series of tweets that was reportedly posted in a group. Frank Clark tagging Stone Cold Jones saying, bring me back.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Bring me back.
Say that again. I must have missed this one.
There was a series of tweets between Frank Clark and Stone Cold Jones saying, bring me back.
Is that from today?
It was like the last couple of days.
It all got deleted?
I didn't click. I didn't go look. I didn't.
Have each other's phone number. Why would you post that publicly?
It was like, come trade for me, essentially, is what it was.
He's not that old. I mean, he's not that old. What is he? Fucking 30 years old?
Would you want Frank Clark back?
I'd take him back. What is he, 30? 31? Who gives a shit?
No, but I think, hey, you blew your chance on coming back. It sucks to suck.
We have enough young guys here, and we're getting Charles Manhue back next week, too.
Yeah, we are.
To where there's really no place for Frank Clark on this team.
Somebody gets injured.
Hold on.
Or something.
You got Felix Anudike Uzama, who is, you know, clearly working into the rotation, trying to get some playing time, trying to get development. Why hinder that? And why hinder the other guys that are playing on the outside right now?
Mike Dana,
of course, who's really done a good job, and I've really enjoyed the development of Mike
really
Dana.
Good.
And you get, like I said, Charles Manhue. George Karlaftis, like, where does Frank Clark fit into this defense? He doesn't. It's not a thing. You don't fit into this defense at all, as a matter of fact. So, I mean, it's a fun little pipe dream, but, like, if the only way he gets onto this team is if there is an injury, like you said.
Yes.
But let's also not assume he just walks right up in here and is super productive either. So,
hey, Greg Dulcich, by the way, possibly coming back this game, tight end, the big tight end for Broncos. He got injured week one with a hamstring on IR, so might be coming back, which would be.
He'll get injured again. Well, he's a big old bum.
When he scores 20 points two games in a row, I'll trade him for you. Trade him to you for AJ Brown.
I'll get right on that shit.
I have one more question related to this game here in a minute, but let's go ahead and do score predictions.
Yeah, I want to know what you guys had for the score.
Nicole and Clark come back?
I'm going to go with 35-21 only because... As I said earlier, Chiefs never gave up more than 20 points defensively in a game this season. We all know how the NFL works on this shit. So I'll go 35-21. There's not going to be a backdoor cover, but you know, it'll be respectable, 35-21.
Okay. I got for me a 31-13 game. So just one touchdown scored by the Broncos in this one. And I think our, you know, the defense is going to come out, show out like they always do, or have done a lot recently. So, like Bolton coming back is going to be awesome. Javonte Williams sounds like he will be playing in this game, from what I've heard. Yes. So that's good for Denver. That's one of their better players on offense.
He's been full practice last.
It's
going
to be someone they need to rely on in the running game without a doubt. Without a doubt, I see the Chiefs' defensive line just corralling Russell Wilson, making him have a real rough time out there. 31-13 for me. By the way, I was only off by 3 points last week. Last week I said 27-23. against the Vikings, and it was 27-20. So
you need to do better. You need to do better.
Well, I could do a lot better. I mean, if I put that as a bet, I still lose, right? So
technically, guys, this is the over under for Broncos team points at 17.5. Talked about it a couple hours ago with Let's Talk Bets. So, guys, it's 10 points. Okay, fair. That's all the Broncos are going to score.
That's fair.
10. So give me 40-10. Give me a repeat of the Bears game.
40.
Not
42?
Nah, dude.
No, maybe 42.
The Chiefs scored 42 against the Bears.
Was it 42?
It was 42.
So 42-10.
The NFL,
give me a blowout.
The NFL feels sorry for the Broncos right now.
Here's the worry, though. It is a Thursday night game, and we all know how Thursdays tend to roll.
Usually.
And it's all usually pretty shitty. I'm hoping the Chiefs can break this streak, and let's have a big blowout. Let's make it into next week. Without any big injuries, any big worries, let's do this thing. So,
all right, very, very good. All right, I got one more question related to the game, you guys. So the last time the Broncos beat the Chiefs was September 15th, 2015 was a year. So my question for you guys is, what has been your favorite thing since the Broncos last beat the Chiefs that is either not existed at the time or that happened afterwards? So, you know, like, there's a wide variety. You got a little over 8 years to work with here. So what's your favorite thing that's either happened or that has been invented even?
A lot of things have happened. I mean, in the world, the world has changed a lot since then. But for me personally, you know, in September 2015, I was working with a different company. And literally 2 months later, I went with a different company. But the biggest thing that happened to me since then was literally 2 months after that game happened in November of 2015, I made a discovery of a game that I've just gotten really good at over the last several years. I'd never played it before in my whole life. Might have played it once, but I didn't really know what it was about. And that was the game of Baccarat in the casino. I started studying the game.
Mm-hmm.
Playing the game. I've been playing it now basically since then. Gotten pretty, I wouldn't say I'm good at it, but I'm making a lot of money at the game of Baccarat. And so that's a discovery that I had right around that time in 2015 that's kind of changed my life for the better.
It's crazy you mentioned that because we have talked about and played Baccarat together quite a few times. And it feels like it's been something that you've been involved with for a decade
I feel
now.
Like, yeah, like at least a forever, decade. Right?
No, what it feels not, like. Yeah, it wasn't. It was exactly November of 2015.
Wow. That's pretty wild to think about because now you play that shit all the time.
I play it every fucking week, man, and twice on Sundays.
Yeah, Tanner, what's yours?
You know, a lot of things happened since 15, right? So I got married, had a kid. Kid's probably my favorite right now, so obviously. Discovered podcasting world, found a new way to love sports and get back into some of the sports I kind of drifted away from or never even tried to watch, right, or get into, thanks to sports betting in Kansas being spread upon the U.S. as well. Honestly, I think that's probably been the best thing outside. I mean, there's been good music, right? Lil Dicky, we discovered Mike. Of course, on our
I might have found
sessions.
It before that. I don't
you
know,
did.
Man.
I think it's been around since 15.
Little Dicky. I don't know when I found Little Dicky, but it was around then. I might have been a year before then.
Post Malone,
I don't know, man.
You know, love those guys, right? It's been good music, but I think sports betting has really been a new form of entertainment that maybe I felt longing to in a way. Just, I mean, baseball, I didn't really watch baseball even – you know, before my brother was just coaching community college stuff, but got back into sports betting. It's like, oh, no runs first inning. Mike, you got addicted to it too during this summer. No, you were betting baseball all the time.
I sports bet today, and I won both of them. So, I mean,
hockey, you know. Hockey. I never watched hockey. Last year, being able to sports bet hockey was phenomenal.
And that's the big thing that I would agree with you on in terms of sports betting.
Yeah.
I always kind of had this thing in the back of my mind, like I might actually give a shit about hockey, but I never really entertained the thought of it until sports betting came onto the scene. I was talking with a colleague today, and I said, you know what? I really want to give hockey a chance. Not give it a chance, but like I really want to get into it because I listened to an interview with the commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
Said it's the fastest paced sport of the major four sports.
Yeah.
And you know, you guys know how big I am into Las Vegas. I'm just like, hey man, I want to adopt the Golden Knights right now. I want to get into this fucking sport. I want to bet on it. And I want to go all in on the NHL. I really want to do it. As a sports fan, I want to learn more about hockey. And it's really intriguing time right now for me.
No, I feel you on that as far as the hockey goes. I mean, my family's into hockey. My sister's very much into it, so they're watching all the time. And it's one of those things, me growing up, obviously I didn't go to a school that had a hockey program or anything like that. So it wasn't something I was familiar with. I loved my NFL and I loved my baseball, but hockey itself as a sport is I think ever growing in a lot of ways. And really, like you said, it's the most fast paced sport in America
out of all four
in North America, maybe. But I mean,
it's amazing because being able to bet now and integrate it within the podcast region that we do. Jim Behringer.
Oh, yeah. Jim's very smart.
He's gone to the draft. He went to the drafts this last season. Yeah. Like, he interviews with players. He's in the mix. And just be able to connect with him on a Monday night, every Monday night, and talk with him. It's a different world, and it's thanks to sports betting of why I can connect with him because I'm involved in that way.
We were at Hy-Vee. You didn't know it. My phone was facing me, and I had the Chicago Blackhawks game on my phone while we were at Hy-Vee. So, I mean, I watch it spirit here and there whenever I get my chances. So, anyways, it is back. Yeah, yes. Guys, just like your NBA, let's save it for
second
later.
Second day today. Hey, by the way, anyway. Wow. Parlay won today, baby. I know I wasn't going to bet hockey for a couple of weeks, but I bet Bruins. I did a parlay of Bruins and Carolina money lines. They won.
Main thing is it's on the opposite trajectory as Major League Baseball.
So NHL's finals, their viewership was down this last year. So hopefully, I think it's still on the rise, but their viewership in the finals was down.
All right. Well, they'll get it going. Guys, you want to know a couple more things that have happened more recently?
Yeah, you got a bigger list than us.
Well, you guys stole some thunder, but it's all right. So something that's happened more recently since the Broncos last win over the Chiefs was Kansas City Royals won a World Series.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Wait.
That's
wait,
right.
14, 15?
15.
No, that happened.
But I know. So technically, that was after.
You wear the shirt right now.
November.
Yes, November.
Yeah.
November 2015 is when the World Series was played, Tanner. Last time the Broncos won was September.
I was
September.
Trying to connect it. I'm so used to us playing later.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
The shitty Kansas City Royals, who just lost 106 games this year and have been ass ever since. Are more recent to win a World Series than the Broncos are to beat the Chiefs.
They did.
That's probably my favorite thing right there.
Can't believe we missed that shit.
I never connected the dots.
Well, because I was changing careers at the time and I was learning Baccarat. Like that was number three.
Never connected.
But they did win the fucking World Series. You know.
The other one for me is this is my personal thing, but one of my top five favorite metal bands of all time, Wage War, their first album hadn't even come out yet.
They weren't even around 2015?
They weren't even around yet. They came out November 2015
So, I was surprised when you played that Weeknd song. I was surprised that the Weeknd was even a thing back then.
That was the number one song.
I feel like he's newer than that.
I was surprised.
I feel like he's newer.
Yeah, that's what I felt as well.
Like 18, 19 area more?
That was the number one hit in September 2015.
Hey, there was also, you know, we had the day the world sports world stopped, which was the day my daughter was born, of course. And then, you know, by the way, just a nerdy shout out there. We wouldn't have got all the Star Wars spinoffs if the Broncos would have never had this losing streak the entire time. So shout out Broncos for losing.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. did a wonderful job, donks.
So Dave gave his I can't read what it says.
So he said... Ba 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 ba. So he says
November
11/1/2015 broke 5 ribs, internal bleeding, getting bucked off a horse, but waited until game 5 was over to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
That's right.
Dang, dude.
That was a thing. But you know what's great is just to think back about that and realize that those broken ribs happened more recently than the Broncos last beat the Chiefs. It's almost like that SpongeBob episode to me. It's like, what's it that he says? You know what's greater than whatever Lumbery says?
Let's talk about.
You know what's funnier than
22? 23.
It's like the same kind of thing.
I want to figure out who was on that fucking team. Was it fucking Tim Tebow and Brandon Marshall? Were those two fucks on that team back then?
In 2015?
Yeah.
You want the
2015? No. Hold on. This was Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning
was playing Jamal Charles.
But he came after Tim Tebow. He came after Tim Tebow.
Yeah. Yeah. But Peyton Manning was playing that day.
Demaryius Thomas.
So
rest in peace.
Here you go. 2015, the Broncos finished 12-4. Yep. They were first in the AFC West, right? Your roster did entail of Peyton Manning, Ronnie Hillman.
Monty Ball.
Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, Owen Daniels. Matt Paradise was the center that year. In that, Derek Wolfe was there, Sylvester Williams, Malik Jackson, Brandon Marshall, Trevathan.
It was Brandon
Marcus
Marshall.
DeMarcus Ware, I keep to
Brandon leave. Marshall, dude.
The linebacker, Brandon Marshall.
Okay. C.J. Anderson was still in the league on the Broncos back then.
So Monty Ball didn't make his rounds yet.
Monty Ball is not on this roster at all.
No.
I think that
was before. I was at that game. As a matter of fact, obviously, you guys know the story behind that. I was at that
Brock
game.
Brock Osweiler was on that team.
He came.
The Osweiler.
Oh, yeah. He was on that team without a doubt. Peyton Manning came back in that game against the Chiefs. Jamal Charles fumbled on the last play of the game, which was returned for a touchdown, which ended the game. Yeah. Otherwise, that game was going to overtime, which could have actually been created a longer streak had he not fumbled and got overtime and Chiefs win.
I'll tell you one thing about these fucking Broncos fans, man. They worship Peyton Manning like he's the second coming of don't know what.
Why would
I'm
going
to give you a hot take right now. If they would have kept Tim Tebow, he would have won that fucking Super Bowl too. They didn't need fucking Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was so fucking washed when he won that fucking Super Bowl. You could have kept Tim Tebow.
I already told you.
You guys fucking know it.
They had a great
fucking defense, fucking roster.
Tim Tebow would have never done what Peyton Manning did in that Super Bowl, dude. Tim Tebow would have never.
Well, we're never going to know, but I'm telling you right now.
I can tell you
like,
he's not.
These motherfuckers, they overvalue Peyton Manning.
I can
like
tell
it's
you
a
he's
fucking
not.
Religion, and it's not. He wasn't that good, dude. He was not
Tim
that
Tebow
good
wasn't.
In that fucking run.
All right, guys. We got two more topics we got to get to. You guys always get off topic.
I'll give you a history lesson later.
All right. Let's make this one quick. You guys know out there we like to have a little buffoon topic here and there on the show when we have time. We're gonna shove this one in there anyway, even though we shouldn't. It'll fit right in, if you know what I'm saying. So, guys, today is actually National Sausage Pizza Day.
That's bullshit.
And so,
Sausage Pizza Day?
Sausage Pizza.
I think it's Sausage Day.
You made
it's
that
sausage
up.
Sausage Pizza Day.
That's not true.
Well, there's actually a few different things of today, but the primary one I want to focus on is sausage. Well, it's also National Obese Pet Day. So, I mean, I think so far we're...
That I can believe. I can believe that, but I think you're full of shit on the other one.
And then it's also National Coming Out Day. So I don't know if that's something you guys care about. I thought that'd be something in June.
That's wonderful.
Maybe would make more sense. But,
I love it.
It is National Sausage Pizza Day, but it got me thinking, what is your favorite way to eat sausage? You know, we take the pizza away. We're not worried about the pizza. We're the focus here is on the sausage. So
you want to talk sausage.
What your favorite way to eat sausage? Because there's multiple ways you can use it. And just a matter of how you want to form it and how you want to fit it into your mouth. So I'll go ahead and let Jason go first on this one because I think you got some good ideas for how you want to use a sausage.
Yeah, a couple of different answers here. So, you know, I've got to go with your original question, which is what is my favorite? But then I've got to go with the best way to eat sausage. So you guys know I fucking can't stand that food.
It's going to be wild.
Sausage, I don't eat pork. I can't stand it. It tastes like shit. But having said that, my favorite way to eat sausage is the maple chicken breakfast sausage from Costco. It's like a maple flavored chicken sausage.
Okay.
That I eat for breakfast. And we've been buying this shit for years. It tastes amazing. I don't know what the name of the brand is, but
I've seen it. I know what you're saying.
Fucking amazing. So I got to go with the maple chicken breakfast sausage as my favorite. However, that's not the best way to eat sausage. The best way that you could eat sausage that I could imagine, at least that I could come up with, maybe you guys will come up with a better idea than me, because I'm not like, I'm not this fucking big shit philosopher that you expect me to be, but the best way that you could eat sausage is to use your asshole to eat it, to eat a sausage.
Like, it, hold on.
I knew. I knew we were going to get butt stuff out of him.
What that means is.
How are we going to do an enema of sausage?
Somebody can give it to you, or you can just take it.
You just keep it in there, or how does it come? Just come back out at some point?
Somebody can give it to you, or you can just take it. It's your choice.
We knew a guy that did coffee enemas. Is it a similar idea?
I wouldn't go that far.
But it's more solid. Obviously,
it's firm.
Do you think you get the nutrition out of it though by doing that? Is it still going to be absorbed into the body?
It's going to be absorbed into the bloodstream if there's like semen or whatever the fuck you want.
Dave wants to know. So do you chew or?
Dude, it's in your asshole. You can do whatever you want. I mean, like. It depends upon your preference, guys.
I feel like JG took this the wrong way.
I knew it.
I took it the right way.
This was the answer I expected.
No, I took it the right way. You guys were a little bit short-sighted.
That's what she said.
Okay. Short-sighted. Tanner, what do you have in mind for the sausage?
Guys, there's two ways to do this thing. There's either slow cook it, make it your barbecue, bitch, or put that sucker on the grill, grill it up, get the good grill marks. And throw some good stuff on it. Ketchup,
throw the
mustard,
good stuff, yeah.
Relish. Just make it one
fuck
big,
yeah.
Big,
I love
thick,
to throw the
thick
good
ass
stuff on
wiener,
it,
dude.
Throw the good stuff on that wiener.
But I mean the barbecue spots stuff.
Maybe we should have talked more about pizza. You guys are getting crazy.
Yeah, I agree. Penis. We should have talked more about penis.
No, I have some chicken sausage in my fridge right now, as a matter of fact. So I know my girlfriend was asking about that earlier, and I hope she's not stealing them while I'm away. But I was just thinking to myself, like, biscuits and gravy is my favorite way to use sausage. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Getting
some sausage chunks in that biscuits and gravy, that's probably my favorite way to go about
what
it.
What kind of sausage do you guys like? Like, you guys, you're big chicken, right? I like chorizo.
Chorizo's a little more fatty.
I like chorizo because you can throw that. It has a little kick to it, the spice.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And you can throw it in different stuff.
It is cheap. Chorizo's cheap, but it's good.
To his point with the biscuits and gravy and shit, that used to be a thing when I was growing up. McDonald's used to serve biscuits and gravy in this region, and they cut it off. Apparently, it's still a thing in the South.
Oh.
But that was the best sausage experience, you know, for lack of a better word, that I've ever had in my life, you know, at least while I was straight. That was the best sausage experience in my life, you know, like when I was a kid growing up.
It is National Coming Out Day.
McDonald's, dude. But they stopped. The McDonald's, they don't serve the biscuits and gravy anymore. When I found that out, I was so fucking pissed off. It's still a thing if you live in the South, but... That's something I grew up on. I was fucking pissed. You can't go to McDonald's and get biscuits and gravy. I mean, that's horrible. That's one of the reasons why I quit. Well, that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons why I turned straight later in life is because I couldn't get the sausage from the McDonald's biscuits and gravy anymore. So that's why now that's why I'm a straight man. They couldn't give me the sausage.
Damn. That's crazy, man. I kind of remember them having biscuits and gravy, but I remember more of their flapjacks and stuff like that. So,
Dave said he ran 4 miles today, so he is not your obese pet any longer.
No longer mom's obese pet anymore. So that's great. That's great. Because it is National Obese Pet Day. So we got a few. Here's the thing. So with our buffoon topics now, I mean, if we could fit them in here, we're gonna look at what today's national day is of whatever it may be, and that's gonna be our topic because we're gonna talk about sausages or pizzas or coming out or whatever it may be, and go along with it like that. So that's the plan, you guys. Meanwhile, we're gonna talk football. Continue to talk football like we always do. So we got two more topics for you guys if that's all right with you, as long as we can squeeze them in.
It's not okay with me, but if you can give me an extra sausage.
Oh,
then I'll allow it.
Once the cameras are off, it's free game. We can open up the sausage.
You
make
extra sausage.
Whenever you're ready, man. Whenever you're ready. As soon as the cameras are off.
Make sure it's firm and fully cooked. That's all I ask.
I usually like them already fully cooked when I buy them.
You like it a little burnt?
A little burnt?
I don't know about all that.
We have a new chicken's head.
I don't want to burn my asshole there, Tanner. That one, it's early in
That's
the game.
That's right, because we know where it's going to go. So.
Yeah, I don't want to do that early in the game.
All right, my question for you guys here on this next one. So I want to talk about NFL. The trade deadline's coming up on October 31st, so Halloween is going to be the trade deadline, and that is just a couple weeks away. Well, 3 weeks away, I suppose. But, you know, we've seen the NFL unfold now. We're 5 weeks in. We get an idea of who's doing what, who's not being used properly, who, you know, needs to add certain pieces, things like that. So my question for you guys is I want to know what NFL trade needs to happen in your mind before the deadline, and we each need to give one. So who wants to go first on that one?
JG.
Yeah, so the thing that needs to happen right now is Kirk Cousins needs to be traded from the Vikings because Justin Jefferson is injured. He's going to be out for weeks. The Vikings are a shitty fucking team right now. And Kirk Cousins is at the point in his career where he needs to go out and fucking try to win a championship or at least compete. And so you got a situation out there in New York where New York Jets, you know, Aaron Rodgers has convinced the entire city of New York that he's going to figure out a miraculous way to come back from a torn Achilles and be back for the playoffs. And that's not going to fucking happen. He's fucking delusional. He's taking some drugs. I don't know what he's on, but I want to smoke some of it. He's not going to be back for the playoffs, but he believes that he is. The Jets, on the other hand, have the roster to be able to compete, to be a contender. And so the trade that needs to happen right now is for Kirk Cousins to maybe play one more week, one more game for the Vikings, and then that's a wrap. They need to trade him to the Jets. The Jets need to be willing to give up, I would say, premium draft capital. Kirk Cousins, if he's not top three, he's top five quarterback this year. You got to give up premium draft capital, bring in Kirk Cousins, and try to make a run. You know, because you never know what's going to happen in the NFL. We all sit here and say, oh, well, you know, it's going to be the Chiefs in the AFC, and it's going to be the 49ers in the NFC. You don't know that. Injuries happen. Right? And the Jets, of all people, should know that injuries happen. And so if you bring in a guy like Kirk Cousins to pair with that roster, you're going to have a chance to contend for a Super Bowl. And so Aaron Rodgers is not going to come back. I don't care what anybody says. I've heard all these fucking pipe dreams out there today. He's not coming. He's not going to come back this year. So let's just fucking stop listening to those fucking people that keep saying that. Let's bring in a legitimate quarterback to bring that roster to the promised land.
I don't agree with that. I don't think bringing Kirk Cousins brings you a chance for the Super Bowl. I don't. I think you give up too much. Your roster is good and everything, but Aaron Rodgers was the key, the piece to bring you that Super Bowl. Kirk Cousins is not Aaron Rodgers, and Kirk Cousins is not the key to bring you that Super Bowl. I believe you can't give up those premium pieces. When we talk premium pieces, like we're talking maybe a key defensive guy and maybe a first or second round pick. You're giving up for Kirk Cousins this year.
The only reason I disagree is because it's AFC, you guys. I mean, you're facing off against some of the top when it comes to quarterback play. And Kirk Cousins, I'm sorry, at the end of the day, it's a quarterback-driven league. Is just not going to be able to square off against some of the top five quarterbacks we currently have. And that includes Tua Tagovailoa right now for the Dolphins. Yeah. I mean, they're not going to be able to keep up pace for pace. The Jets will not be able to keep up pace for pace with a team like the Dolphins or even the Chiefs. And,
Aaron Rodgers was your key piece.
He was your best shot.
And I think if we were talking about the beginning of the year before any of this started, then I agree with you guys. This would have been a daunting task to go through the AFC. It's not. Joe Burrow is not right now. Josh Allen, no, I don't think a lot of people believe in the Bills right now. Like, it's basically the Chiefs And that's it. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, I mean, the Jaguars have been playing like shit. The AFC is not what we thought it was going to be when the season started. And so I think if you're the Jets, you've got to make that move because AFC just looks a little bit weaker than we thought it was going to look in the beginning of the season. I think you've got to go do the deal right now.
I think in order to make the playoffs, though, you got to be second place in that division. And you're not getting second place in that division with Kirk Cousins.
I disagree with that. I agree with you on the fact that the Dolphins are the better team right now. But when you look at the entire landscape of the AFC, anything can happen. Anything can happen. And even if you don't win that fucking division, you could still compete for a Super Bowl. You could still make it to the Super Bowl if you're the Jets.
The team that would benefit the most out of that would be the Vikings. By getting whatever it is that the Jets threw their way.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you're worried about the future right now. Absolutely. And the present is not going to go anywhere. The Jets would probably just be kind of spinning their wheels.
You would be.
With the Kirk Cousins at the helm. So that's my
opinion. Is that because you think it would take him too long to learn the offense?
No.
It's not. It's a combination of a lot of different things. And there's better talent in the conference. And as well as the fact that we've seen Kirk Cousins with elite talent all around him, surrounding him, when it comes to, you know, Adam Thielen, obviously Justin Jefferson, great running game like Dalvin Cook. He's had all the pieces put together, but then when it comes to big games, he's always found a way to shit the bed. And so to me, you're not getting much more out of him than Alex Smith gave you for the Chiefs.
Are we comparing Saleh to, was it McConnell, whatever the Vikings quarterback head coach is? Like, I don't think there's a really horse of peace between the two. Honestly, so I think Saleh might have the upper advantage, but in the end, I think your play calling's the same. Kirk Cousins is just going to transfer teams, and
he'll be on a new team next year, no matter what.
Correct, because he didn't get extended.
And the Jets obviously is still committed to Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers is coming to the Jets.
It's not worth the headache.
Having
losing the
half of a season with Kirk Cousins is going to be a complete waste of time.
I'm just telling you, he's going somewhere because the Vikings have already worked out Colt McCoy. He's going somewhere, and why wouldn't it be the Jets? I mean, you're in a big market, and those fans, they're fucking pissed, man.
I'll be shocked if he goes anywhere this year.
I would be.
Off-season, 100%, but during the year this year, I'd be shocked.
I'd be surprised.
Yep. Okay. I know. I appreciate the take, man. That's what
we're
here for.
I mean, it was a good take, though, because Jets do need something. So
what do you got, Tanner?
I think a team currently in first place right now needs a little bit of help on the offensive side outside of firing their offensive coordinator. Pittsburgh Steelers out here, 3-2, first place, just beat Baltimore last week. Surprise kind of first place right now into play. But something they're really missing is this running game. Najee's not cutting it. Jalen Warren's too small to do anything.
They suck.
It's not good in that. It's not a thing you can consistently go. Matt Canada doesn't give you a chance to win.
He sucks.
So you got to cut bait, but you got to in the meantime until Tomlin can grow a set of balls and fire one of his guys. You got to go out and look for guys. Got to go make a trade, and it's time to make a big dick trade for that running game. Derrick Henry, everybody. Tennessee Titans 2-3, last place. You know, not a good offense, very inconsistent. Still in play for the division. But I think in 2 weeks from now, they won't be in play. The defense is bad. Derrick Henry isn't running like himself either. So I think now's the time to go scoop up and go get him. His attempts, his opportunities has been limited at times already this year. Go scoop him up. Go bring in a Pittsburgh offense, somebody that will let you run up the middle, somebody that will give you the ball, that could use a run game. Train him up for Najee. Swap it for Najee and a draft pick. And get Derrick Henry in that contract off your books, Tennessee. I think it'd be best move for both teams as kind of where they're sitting at in week 5, where they could be week 7. So that's kind of where I'm looking at is Derrick Henry to the Steelers and kind of helping Tennessee clean up some cap space.
I guess if anything, it'd probably help the OC Matt Canada simplify the offense a little bit.
Correct.
Because, I mean, the guy's kind of a moron, so – if you got Derrick Henry, then if you're not sure what to do, then well, here we go. You know, we know where to hand the ball off to, or who to give the ball to at this, you know, certain situations. Obviously, the Steelers are frustrated at the moment with getting that offense rolling. George Pickens is still doing a decent job.
He is,
regardless. But I mean, there's a lot of fans right now that are pissed off about the Steelers' offense and the play calling, and they're scrapping by. Somehow they got a win last week. great for them. But yeah, there needs to be a little more foundation to the offense, a little more structure going forward, to realizing who they really are. And Kenny Pickett's not going to develop correctly without something to stand behind and some kind of a backbone of who this offense is and what's your identity. Because right now, I don't know that they have an identity of who they are as an offense.
The trade's not going to happen. Okay? No,
it probably won't happen. I mean,
these are hypothetical.
But that'd be the trade to make for Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm just saying, like, when I came up with the Kirk Cousins thing, that I feel like that's something that should happen. There's no reason for the Titans to trade away Derrick Henry. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
There is a reason. Get rid of cap
space. No, they're fucking 2-3.
You don't have a
quarterback.
They're
fucking 2-3. They could have a successful year right now.
Tajay Spears is stealing some snaps, by
the way. He is stealing snaps.
Yeah, I mean,
he out-snapped Derrick Henry 2 weeks ago.
I think that
this could be the decline of Derrick Henry. I'm not going to lie. I mean, he's a running back who's in he's 29 now.
Yeah.
It could be, but the Steelers still believe. They still believe in Najee Harris.
I know. That's the issue.
So Matt Canada believes. I think it's a fucking pipe dream if that thing ever happens.
I think I might have the most realistic one.
Let's see. I got one more for you, but I want to hear yours first.
Okay. I got two, but I'm going to give you the main one and then just mention the other one. So Brian Burns was talked about all last year as possibly being a trade candidate. The Panthers are 0-5. He's obviously the great outside pass rusher there for the Panthers. Really doing hardly, he's not going to be able to do anything for that program, for that team going forward. And the other issue is for the Panthers, they do not hold a first round pick in the 2024 NFL draft because they gave that up to move up to number one to take Bryce Young, obviously. So right now, Brian Burns is sitting on the shitty team, and he needs to be going somewhere that's going to get him a big contract and be on a winning program, because right now he's not going to be happy. I mean, this program is a long ways away from getting to where they need to be, and they also gave away DJ Moore to the Bears, which we all knew at the time was going to be a moronic thing to do to your young rookie number one overall pick quarterback.
Yep.
He's in his fifth-year contract, or fifth-year, he's a first-round pick formerly. He's in his fifth-year contract at the moment, so this is the prime time right now to offload Brian Burns on an 0-5 team and just get some picks out of it, potentially get you a first-round pick so you're back in the mix when it comes to the draft and go from there. The other one I got, guys, just Hunter Renfro. Doesn't make sense anymore with the Raiders. They're not using him. Jacoby Myers is taking all the reps, and he's only got, I think, 6 catches on the entire season.
Correct.
The guy that had over 100, 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
And could be used somewhere as a slot receiver. I know there's probably a certain Mr. Moore on this team that I would probably replace him with right now if I had my choice. So, anyways.
Actually, pretty similar right there, Hunter Renfro. Going to Atlanta would be nice there. I think you got to get Saquon on the move, honestly. From New York again.
They just signed him to I guess it was a 1 year deal.
A 1 year deal. I guess they'll finish
it. Just 1 year,
out.
But whatever.
You can move him. You can certainly move him.
But you gotta move him. You gotta get him off your book. Like you can't keep a guy if you're gonna be 1-4 that's just sitting on the bench the whole time. Go get something for him. You can still get a second rounder for him.
I mean, look at Christian McCaffrey's career, which was already great to begin with, just explode with the 49ers, go into a great offense. Imagine Saquon Barkley finally getting to work with a decent quarterback who's not a dumbass. With decent offense and people who knew what the hell they're doing on a football team.
Hey, fuck you, man. I thought Jim Carrey is a good quarterback, man. The Jim Carrey look-alike is a great fucking quarterback.
We're just talking decent, too. That's the thing. Decent.
Maybe Ace Ventura, he might have been okay.
Guys, Jerry Jeudy needs to get on the move somewhere. And honestly, he needs to get out of freaking Denver as quick as possible.
Who was that again?
Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry Jeudy has to get out, revitalize.
What about Cortland Sutton? You're going to leave him behind?
Yeah.
Really, the whole Denver Broncos team.
I am not worried about
they all
the whole,
need
the whole
to leave.
Team should be up for grabs.
They should leave.
Serious.
Well, they should be. It should be. And if I'm Baltimore or Cleveland right now, I'm going after Jerry Jeudy. Cleveland doesn't have the payroll. Baltimore does. I would go, if I'm Baltimore Ravens and I get to compete with Pittsburgh and Cleveland right now on my tail and Cincinnati's resurgence, I got to get me another receiver. Because Odell Beckham and Rashawn Bateman, they ain't cutting it right now. Go out and get me Jeudy. Whatever you got to do, get yourself Jeudy. Get yourself a number one to go with Zay Flowers because Beckham is on his soon-to-be daddy duty because he's going to be retired. And Rashad Bateman can't stay healthy to save his life throughout the season right now. So Jeudy and Zay Flowers is needed on this team. I'd even take a Sutton on this freaking team. to give him some kind of impact. But Baltimore has to go out and get a receiver for Lamar Jackson, because we're seeing the difference between Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson right now. When you don't have receivers that can get open,
no fucking receivers.
Fuck. You're going to struggle. Shit, and your offenses are similar in a way, but there's only reason why the Chiefs are currently in their record and why Baltimore is 3-2. Because Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes.
Well, this Chiefs offense this year with the receiver situation has been frustrating to watch. Correct. They're still 6th in the NFL in points per game.
Exactly.
So
there's a big difference there.
We're sitting here complaining, but at the same time, it's just because we're spoiled.
Oh, at that point, you should bring Jerry Jeudy onto the Chiefs.
Yeah, as if the Broncos would ever allow that to happen.
Do you think that? I wouldn't mind it.
I would take it. Him or Sutton, for that matter. I know both of them have injury history and all that stuff, but... I mean, I don't know. This is a different topic for next week, but the receiver situation, let's see how that unfolds this weekend, and maybe Justin Ross gets some more snaps.
Do you think JJ gets traded? Because they talked about JJ getting traded for the deadline. He's hurt right now, hamstring on the IR, but do you think he would get traded if he was healthy today? Because he's talking about wanting to be different in the highest pay and everything else like that.
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
Chiefs can't afford him.
No.
We
ain't affording him.
Yeah, not going to be a thing. I don't see any possibility of that. He needs to be a staple for whatever young quarterback comes along after Kirk Cousins.
Dave wants to know who's trading for CEH.
Yeah, I mean, whoever wants the little turd running back who averages 3.5 yards a carry, if they want him, come grab him.
Pretty sure there's a lot of teams in the Canadian Football League that would take him on.
I would probably, you know, if someone wants to toss us a 6th-round pick right now, I'm Buccaneers not going to say no.
Buccaneers might.
Not going to say no. We have a LaMichael James, or LaMichael P. Ryan, excuse me, on the practice squad right now. So let's get a call up and have the same production.
Right. And then he says, Dave says, CMC is going to be dead over 400 touches by the end of the year.
Yeah, probably.
She might. And then JJ saying, they're drafting the QB on rookie contract. Sorry. That's true. Caleb Williams wants to come to the Vikings if they're a selection for number 1 overall.
Yeah.
That's on his list. And JJ and Addison are two of the reasons why he's on the list.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're Kelly Williams, you want to go to the Vikings because at least you have somebody to throw to.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Let's go ahead and kick it off. Finally, the last segment of the day. I know we had quite a few today. But we're here, guys. We're here to make you get some money. I know I the last couple weeks, not been as good. I'll get us back on track. Tanner, you got to update the people on how we're doing as a group.
As you guys can see on the top,
I got to do better.
It says 12-13, guys. 12-13. We are officially below 500.
Started off strong.
Wow.
Started off strong.
That's pretty poor.
Let's break it down here for week 5, everybody. Week 5 of the NFL season. Here's our results here. JG with the Steelers +4. He got the dub.
Fuck yes.
Look at JG out here. The only dub of the week. Weekend there. Mike Commanders and Bears under 44.5. And the Bears alone scored, I think it was like 40 or 42 points. So
JG destroyed your cock. That's the whole thing.
That's ridiculous.
Myself, I had the Texans money line. The Texans just blowing it in the last 30 seconds, allowing for the game-winning field goal from Atlanta. After scoring their touchdown to put themselves ahead, they allowed the game-winning field goal from Younghoe Koo at the very last minute there. Appreciate you, Texans, for ruining that. And then Washington State doing a similar feat of just go ahead and lose in the last 2 minutes versus UCLA. A game they should have won. They were up going in the last 5 and ended up just, charging it out, essentially. So got two L's on that. Sitting out current win percentages here. JG sitting at a 50%. Mike's with a 50. Myself with a 46. And then Sports Buffoon's total percentage is 48.
Oh, yeah, we can do better, guys. We've just been on a losing streak. I mean, if you look at our previous 6, it's been a lot of L's. So that means we're due.
We can do better.
Due to get back in this. And if you're playing your cards right, you know the money management part of it. Really, you could be in the positive as of now.
And I made you guys a lot of fucking money, and I know I did. But there's only one reason why I made you money, and that's because I had the opportunity to make you money. And the only reason why I had the opportunity to make you money is because sports betting has rapidly risen in popularity, and I want to connect you all with an opportunity to get started or get ahead. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the most simple way to maximize your profits. and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit my page, signupexpert.com/buffoons, you'll be connected to all the sports books in your region, along with a review of each platform and its unique benefits. All of these sports books have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and when you register through my link, you're going to automatically receive the top offer at each one. When you use multiple sports books, you ensure that you can always access the best available odds, which is key to successful sports betting. That's what we're about on this show, is successful sports betting. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, guys, and support our brand, please consider signing up for your next sports book at signupexpert.com/buffoons.
There you go. Easy enough to remember, you guys. And you know, a lot to look at along the way with the bet stamp.
That's so right.
Don't get shit faced while you're doing it. Don't get shit faced while you're betting.
You can learn a less
place,
1-800
a lot of different things.
I'm telling you that from experience. Place your bets first and then get shit faced. Don't do it in the opposite order.
I've learned
that shit the hard way.
Yeah, I've done it a couple times. It's normally not the best way to go about it. So, but you know, that's why we have these little cell phones, and you just sit there, and next thing you know, it's 2 a.m. and you're placing these crazy bets, and you're like, oh no wonder I did so bad. But
seriously, don't do it drunk, guys. Like you're gonna kill yourself on that shit.
Right. All right, guys.
JG, kick it off.
Easy money pick of the week. What you got?
All right, so my easy money bet of the week for the JG, I'm looking at that Houston versus the Saints game. Houston actually lost at Atlanta last week. New Orleans destroyed the New England Patriots on the road. I think the Saints are going to be rolling into this game a little bit cocky this week, guys. I do believe in C.J. Stroud in this game. Houston is +1.5 versus the Saints. That is just easy. It's just almost too easy for me. It's way too easy. Houston's playing at home. I do believe in C.J. Stroud this year and in this game. Give me Houston +1.5.
You know, I was so frustrated because last night I managed to get this on my betting app, which is DraftKings. My betting app of choice is DraftKings. And I was sitting there, and I saw -5.5, and I could not freaking believe I saw -5.5, 49ers at Cleveland against P.J. Walker, and, of course, no Nick Chubb. And I'm sitting there looking at this thing going, 49ers, Browns, P.J. Walker, why is it say 5.5? Today comes along, and I go ahead and look at the you know, where the line's at, and it's now moved over to -7 for the 49ers. You know what? I'm taking it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway. I don't give a damn. Give me that. You know, I don't care about P.J. Walker and the XFL MVP and all that other crap and nonsense.
Wait. Sean's not playing again?
Sean Watson's not playing. P.J. Walker's playing.
We're about to have a revolt.
Fucking go all in, dude. Fucking go all in.
Cleveland.
Hey, well, I got money in my pocket right now. I'm going
to
put it down.
I'm telling you right now. I don't care that the line moved to 7. I already got him at 5.5.
Fucking money down.
You guys should do it at 7 anyway. Go take it. Take it.
It's going
to
move.
It's probably going to move to 10. At some point.
If it's already moved that much already.
Yeah, it's going to move to 10 at some point.
It's going to at least move to like 7.5?
Overnight, it moved from 5.5 to 7. So, to me, this is too easy to not take. And I know it's a whole touchdown, guys. And I know it's on the road. But you know what? Away teams are 41-37 or something like that this year. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
And by the way, away
teams. Throw your fucking money
away
at
teams
shit.
Against the spread this year are 55% winners. So who gives a shit? Who gives a shit if they're the away team or home team?
500, guys, 600. I'm going to do
this
7.
Year in particular is all about the underdogs, but also all about the away teams against the spread.
Yeah. 8.
Give me that 49ers.
9.
To go out 900. There and
should
get
I go 1,000? I got, there's 1,000
sure.
Right there. I'm going to do 1,000.
Look, Tanner's going to be worried about hackers. $1,000. Tanner's worried about hackers.
No, fuck that shit.
We got NordVPN, dude.
Okay, we got VPNs, whatever. All right, guys. Anyways.
Well, you have to make the bet. Before it goes 7.5.
Yes, do it now.
Do it now.
7.5. 49ers over the Browns before the game
on
Sunday.
All that fucking
at noon.
Money. Shove it up their ass.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
There we are.
All that fucking money right there.
One of these days, people just need to do a parlay of our easy money picks and just win a bunch of money. That'd be amazing. But, yeah, I love my pick. Even though it's not 5.5, I'll take the 7 anyway and do it.
Should have put more money out there.
Jason, I like your pick last week, but Texans can go suck a dick now. I like the 49ers minus 7. I'll take it minus 7.5 even, I think, this week. If Deshaun's out,
yeah,
I'm taking my – yeah, easy. PJ Walker. Easy. Guys, we got two bets here for myself. We got just an NFL and a college bet this week. No prop again. Had a chance, time to look that up. Let's talk about it. NFL bet here first on Sunday. We got the Detroit Lions and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're looking at 4-1 against the spread for the Detroit Lions, 3-1 for Tampa Bay. But there's a difference here. Detroit has actually played an offense. Tampa Bay, best team they played is Philadelphia. Next, maybe Minnesota, then New Orleans. And they won the spreads on everything but Philadelphia. You're going against the Detroit Lions, who has one of the most dynamic offenses, who can run the ball. Jamison Williams back, and they're going to start working him in a little bit more. And you got the one of the best tight ends in football with Sam Laporta. Give me the minus 3 for the Detroit Lions on the road against Tampa Bay, kind of exposing that fake offense they have there because the defense is also better. Aiden Hutchinson's going to have a heyday on Sunday as well. So I get Detroit minus 3. And then our college bet is actually tomorrow night, Thursday night, everybody. So make sure you get it in quickly in this one here. This one's pretty easy, actually, matter of fact. West Virginia at Houston, minus 2.5 for West Virginia right now. West Virginia's 4-1 on a record, 4-1 against the spread. Houston sucks. Hate to say it, break it to people. Houston blows. They lost to Texas Tech last week by 11 points. They lost to TCU by 23 points. West Virginia is out here going to clobber these guys. They beat TCU last week 24-21. They beat Texas Tech by 7 points. They beat Pitt as well. Their only loss this season is against Penn State, which is a respectable loss there. West Virginia, if it's only 2.5, minus 2.5 against this Houston shitty-ass Houston team all freaking day long. Houston's 2-3 against the spread. Give me West Virginia minus 2.5 on Thursday night for your easy money bet of the week in college.
And you got Tanner Dibben back into the college pool again, I see. So
I almost quit, but then I told myself,
you know, you
don't give up yet.
You should have quit last year because if you would have bet against this guy in college sports last year, I mean, you probably would have been rich. You would have retired. You would have retired from your job right now if you would have bet the exact opposite of what this guy said in college football.
You would have finished even.
So we'll see what happens. But I'm running to the bank. I'm going to get all my money back out of the bank right now. Get all my money out of the bank, and I'm going to bet against him on his fucking college football bet.
I just want us to, as a group, to get back on the winning track. So if Tanner's college bet's the one loss we take, I'll accept that.
I've won.
Because I want to win all of our NFL bets.
Yeah. We'll fucking win, dude. We'll fucking
win. That's what I want to win this coming week. So
that's what we're doing.
Just kind of off script, would you guys take for the tomorrow's game, Chiefs, Broncos, at minus 10.5?
I would.
Would you take them to cover?
I'd take the minus 10.5 this time.
I probably would. Chiefs don't normally cover very well, but I probably would.
I didn't like the Jets at the time. It was at 9.5, I think, for that one. And I ended up taking like three different ones. I wasn't confident in that. But
Andy always finds a way to keep it close, except for the Broncos. The Broncos in the past, I've seen him run up the score a little bit, which is the one team he does that against. So I would take them probably to cover on that one.
I agree there. So,
all right, guys. Will, I'm not going to ask you any final thoughts because last time I did that, it did not end well.
To be fair, that was a disaster.
Yeah, it was.
Unmitigated disaster.
Yeah.
The last time you answered that question, which is why I'm trying to understand why did you ask that question?
I didn't ask. I said I'm not going to ask that question. Before I did, but I've learned my lesson, you know, as a moderator here, that once you guys get on your little rampage, it's hard to control you two. Because it goes off script and it goes into NBA and LeBron and MJ all of a sudden for no reason whatsoever.
Well, to be fair, so, you are a Phoenix Suns fan, and we are going to the NBA preseason. Well, and I did want to know your thoughts on the new big three of the Phoenix Suns. But maybe we should save that for next week.
It's currently October. You want to save that? Is it October 11th?
Yeah, we're going into the fucking preseason.
We're
going to
save that for a later day, for sure.
I do want to know your thoughts on that, though.
Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there for sure. You guys know.
Hey, are we going to cover the in-season NBA tournament this year?
The hell are you talking about?
There's a new in-season NBA tournament this year. Christ.
I'm not going to boycott it. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to boycott it, but I can't promise you that I'm going to watch it either. Sure as fuck not going to bet on it.
How many
Can you imagine placing a bet on that shit?
I couldn't even.
Could you imagine that?
Couldn't even.
With no history. None. No history on that fucking tournament. There's no guarantee that the fans give a shit. There's no guarantee that the players give a shit.
That's what I'm talking about. How many fines are we going to see if players not playing in that in-season tournament?
No, you can't fine them.
You know they will. Because that there's a whole debacle.
I don't think they can.
They made Richard Jefferson come out and present it to everybody as an
opponent. I don't think they can fine any players for missing that fucking tournament. Because everybody fucking knows it's a joke. It's a shit show.
Silver's going to fine him, dude. He's going to find a way to fine
him. There are other ways.
The whole thing is a joke. It's all a joke, you guys. The first 3 months of the NBA season is a joke.
But it's
all
a tournament, dude.
No, it's not a tournament. None of it matters.
It's a tournament.
0% of it matters at all.
I think the end game
of the season. It doesn't matter. None of it matters.
The worst thing that you could do when the first half of your season is a joke is to turn it into a bigger joke. And that's exactly what they're doing right now. Nobody gives a shit about the in-season tournament. They only give a shit about Victor Wembanyama. They want to see, is this the guy? Is he the next LeBron James and all that shit? But nobody's going to watch that fucking mid-season tournament. I don't give a fuck. Do you give a fuck?
I don't care about it.
I'm a fan.
That's great, guys, because I don't either. Wait. So let's go ahead and
say. And I got told about it. I was like, this is bullshit.
We'll talk about that in-season tournament whenever that time comes. I don't know when it is. Hopefully never. But we'll talk about that thing when that happens.
I want to make some hockey bets.
I just want the people at home to enjoy their sausage for the evening. You know, or even if they want to have it for the morning, it's fine.
Scott also wanted to know if our, since 2015 topic, if the bath towels were going to be involved in the discussion, so.
Bath towels. Well, they'll probably make a return. The only problem with my current bath towel, my girlfriend does not like it whenever I don't put it on the hanger like flat.
Mm-hmm.
Like I tend to just throw it over and it might still be kind of rolled up a little bit. She'll always take it and straighten it back out and all that. And then like she like will send pictures to her friends about it. And like I'm just like, you know what? I'm a dude. Don't know what to tell you.
I'll give you a little teaser on that topic though. Because you want to wipe your balls, but whatever you do, don't wipe your ass with that. If you're going to save that towel without washing it for 6 months, whatever you do, don't wipe your ass. Just kind of put it around your asshole, but don't really touch
it. Just around it?
Just enough. I've been doing it. Like, you guys think this is funny shit. I've actually been doing this shit. I just touch my buttocks enough just to dry it off, but I don't put it in my asshole. Right. That way you can keep it clean. Yep. But I did want to point out the fact that on the Easy Money segment, we are going to start doing some NHL bets.
Yes.
Because I'm fucking into this shit. I love the NHL. I'm getting into hockey.
I didn't include it today, but I could have.
And we're going to start doing the next couple of weeks Easy Money NHL bets. So
awesome.
Get ready for it, guys. But steer clear of wiping your asshole with that fucking bat towel.
Next week's debate is, do you wipe front to back or back to front? So we'll talk about that next Wednesday.
By the way, I didn't wipe my asshole with that fucking towel in the last several days, Mike. You know that, right?
That's fine. Do what you got to do, man. I don't care.
And I didn't take the sausage.
We'll talk about the towels next week, okay?
I didn't wipe the sausage with the fucking bath towel either, just to be clear.
Yeah, you're
gonna man, look at all this fucking money.
Okay.
Tanner, count that shit up.
All right, I'm done, you guys. All right, let's get it closer down. I'll see y'all on the next one.
Outro! Tanner, count that, you bitch. Count that fucking money.